Welcome to the Hirogenics podcast series, innovative contingent workforce solutions insights from the experts. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, and welcome to the Hirogenics podcast series. My name is Kristen Schiffner, and I'm the VP of Marketing for Hirogenics, and I'm here with Ian Keffer, who is our Senior Director of Workforce Acquisition Solutions for Hirogenics and Volt. We're going to spend a little time with you today talking about payrolling and independent contractor compliance. With 40% of the world's workforce who are now contingent workers, it's becoming more and more imperative to understand how to safely leverage and engage this important population and how payrolling, often referred to as employee of record, and independent contractor compliance, often heard as agent of record, can really be an important part of your organization's total talent strategy. So I'll have a series of questions and hopefully just a really great conversation with Ian today. And Ian, I look forward to our chat. So we will just jump right in. And obviously, Ian, you are the subject matter expert on this. So I hope that you will correct me and, kind of lead the conversation because I don't want to leave anything, left on the table. I think this is a great opportunity to kind of share your expertise and your perspective. So the first thing I wanted to ask, just in general for the audience, at the kind of 30,000 foot level, can you give a brief overview of what payrolling means in this context and employer of record? Just a great kind of educational definition.
Sure. And Kristen, first off, thank you for having me. Happy to be here. But in the context of the conversation, right, payrolling can mean a lot of different things. There are a lot of companies out there that are simply payroll processing companies. You know, in the context of us and what we do in the conversation, we'll be focusing on payrolling or employer of record services. So really, an employer of record is basically a third-party entity that becomes the official employer for tax and legal purposes. So that means they will handle all of the on and off-boarding, payroll processing, tax reporting, administration of benefits for workers that qualify. The workers would be on our workers' comp policy. All of that good stuff. So it's really a full white glove approach.
So it seems a lot more than just issuing somebody a paycheck. It's the overall kind of worker candidate experience.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So employer records take on basically everything related to employment duties and the employee-employer relationship on the back end. So workers are essentially on assignment with client companies, but on the back end, the employer of record is making sure anything related to employment is taken care of.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for helping kind of set the baseline. So I'm curious if you can share a little bit more, how does using an EOR, so how does a company who chooses to use an EOR benefit their company in terms of compliance? You know, what are the perks? What are the pros?
Yeah, sure. So that's a great question. Leveraging an employer of record benefits companies in terms of compliance by ensuring compliance with employment laws, tax regulations, and other legal requirements. Basically, because the employer of record takes on responsibility for proper classification, onboarding, and the management of workers from a legal employment standpoint, right? So also, another key thing is that in this sense, the client's basically shielded from any employment liabilities, right? As well as the administrative burden of having to manage this stuff on the back end for this worker population.
Yeah. So reading between the lines, the company who chooses to use an EOR partner to help with the employment administration, is really leaning on that partner to be the expert, to understand the local, state, and federal laws, to kind of be the watchdog to make sure that they are classifying and treating these contractors in such a way that the laws, believe that we're doing right by the contractor, and essentially kind of being the experts, being the augment of the team to handle all that kind of back office and compliance risk.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, kind of moving on, same thing thematically. By using an EOR, companies can ensure compliance with these employment laws. But what are the risks that happen if they happen to inadvertently or and even potentially knowingly misclassify an independent contractor?
Yeah, no, that's another great question too. And it, you know, it's funny you bring that up because it seems like every day there's a new article or news source coming out with companies that are potentially misclassifying workers, right? And also the laws around IC compliance and classification are constantly evolving and changing. So it is very important for companies that are engaging those types of workers to just make sure they're crossing their T's and dotting their I's, right? And so a lot of times clients will have, you know, in-house legal counsel, but it doesn't hurt to get another opinion. And, you know, in any sense of the world, right, there are subject matter experts in each field, and relying on those people is always beneficial, right? But most importantly, making sure that you're crossing your T's, dotting your I's, because the legal consequences, to answer your question, can be, you know, pretty extensive, right? So you can Google, you know, and find large companies facing massive fines from misclassification could result in potential lawsuits, back taxes, et cetera. So, yeah, it's very important to understand the criteria for proper classification and avoid those risks. But to that point, right, there are subject matter experts out there that are there to help you.
Yeah, it is exactly what you said. Anytime you read the news headlines or Google, you know, worker misclassification, it seems like yet another company is under scrutiny for just that, classifying workers, you know, denying them benefits, you know, all of those things. And it seems more and more that worker protection, worker classification movements to really ensure that the worker is not getting taken advantage of. And, you know, really companies are under the microscope more and more. So it becomes increasingly important to make sure they have their ducks in a row, so to speak, in terms of not only classifying, you know, to avoid lawsuits and back taxes, but just, you know, in terms of their own employer brand and treating their worker in a way that, you know, is fair. And this, we'll want to edit this, but treating the worker in a way that's fair and protects their own, you know, employer reputation, because it's certainly not good news when you see your names in the headlines and workers are complaining about, you know, something that's been done. It makes it harder long-term to recruit new candidates down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, to that point, obviously we work with companies that those are our clients, but also it's important to make sure you're doing your due diligence on the vendor side as well. There have been some recent articles of other companies in the space that are, you know, even potentially misclassifying their own internal workers. And so there's a lot of new companies in the payrolling employer record space. And so I think working with a company that's established with a great reputation, that's of importance as well for our clients, to make sure that, you know, you're going with a company that is doing things correctly and has a solid reputation.
Yeah, exactly. Now that's a great point. So besides the risks that, you know, we just identified, you know, not only to the independent contractor itself, but to the company that may or may not be abiding by federal, state, and local laws around worker classification, what are some factors that, you know, to keep in mind that help employers really understand how to classify and determine whether a worker is truly an employee, you know, the W-2 employee that we think about, or an independent contractor, the 1099. Are there some kind of factors that are at least a good baseline to keep in mind?
Yeah, there are. So W-2 employees have certain qualities, right? They typically will work 40 hours a week on an ongoing basis. Typically, they work full-time for one company or a client at a time. They're paid at regular intervals, either on a salary or hourly basis, eligible for unemployment. You know, they also receive benefits in terms of health care, vacation, sick pay. They have taxes deducted from their paychecks as well. Whereas independent contractors share qualities, you know, where they're providing outside expertise, not available internally. Usually their work is not part of the core competency of what the company does itself, such as, you know, an accountant at an accounting company, right? They also complete their work independently without supervision. They have contracts for limited time frames or project work. They usually maintain multiple clients simultaneously, as opposed to just working with one company at a time, right? So there are a number of factors, yes.
I mean, even something as simple as things like provision of the tools and equipment, you know, whether or not it's that the worker's own personal equipment and laptop, or if it's a employer-issued workstation or, you know, computer. I mean, that's even one of the factors that weighs into, you know, whether or not they really are employee or IC.
Totally. And, you know, one of the main tests that are used, and keep in mind there are ever-changing laws around this, right? So there are some states like California, Massachusetts, that are at the forefront of ever-changing laws around IC compliance and management. But kind of the standard that you can look at on the national level would be the IRS 20-factor test. And so anybody can Google that and see those 20 factors that go into IC compliance and management as well. You know, also keep in mind that it does vary at the state level too.
Yeah. In fact, California and Massachusetts seem to always be, you know, kind of in the news about their worker protection laws. And just because something, you know, might work or maybe one way in another state, you go to California, for instance, and they may have a much kind of higher level of scrutiny. Again, it's all back to worker protection. That's what it really comes down to. You know, if companies are really going the extra mile to ensure that they are, you know, focusing on independent contractor compliance, what are some of the challenges, you know, kind of common challenges or guiding principles that they need to be thinking about when they engage a contract worker?
Yeah. So going back to the last question, right, is leveraging the tools, the 20-factor test, the differences that I had mentioned between independent contractor qualities as well as W-2 qualities, right? But overall, companies should establish clear contractor agreements, maintaining proper documentation, ensure that the ICs have control over their own work, you know, that the client isn't providing employee-like benefits, as well as, you know, I've also seen where a company may have a W-2 performing one role and then somebody classified as an IC performing the same exact role, right? That creates a discrepancy. So just keeping all of those factors in mind of utmost importance.
Yeah. And again, you know, what we mentioned earlier, just the challenge of staying up to date with these kind of constantly evolving labor laws and different tax jurisdictions. It really is a full-time job, so to speak, to stay up, you know, on that landscape and really understand what is happening across the country, especially if you are employing independent contractors that don't sit in the same state as your headquarters, you know, especially now, you know, kind of post COVID with the remote, you know, work lifestyle being such a common thing now, a company could potentially have, you know, contractors in 50 states and, you know, or the U.S. territories and beyond. So it's a complex web of labor laws to understand across that geography.
Yeah, it is a lot to keep up with, you know. And so, again, it goes back to it's always smart and never really hurts to engage the subject matter experts, which, you know, obviously we have full teams here that do all of that and are thought leaders in this category. And so making sure, again, that you're crossing your T's, dotting your I's, limiting your exposure. And a nice part about engaging a company like us is that when you do, and, you know, when a vendor does the vetting for you, you're also shielded, right? Because they're doing the classification and the vetting. And same thing, you know, the same shielding that you get by leveraging a payrolling employer of record service, right? You're shielded from any of those employment liabilities on the payrolling side. Same thing goes for the vetting piece, right? So if a vendor does the vetting for you, then they're kind of responsible for the ongoing engagement of that agreement and also reinsuring compliance down the road.
That's great. So we've been talking a lot about compliance kind of in the context of how important it is, obviously, for an employer to remain compliant. But, you know, the contractors, those are the people, they are the workforce behind all of this. So can you share a little bit about how a company who uses a payroll EOR expert, how can they be ensured that the worker's getting taken care of, that, you know, maintaining this relationship between the company and its worker, and then there's a third party EOR provider, you know, how does that work between kind of the three entities?
Yeah, sure. So it's again, I think it goes back to the importance of doing your homework, right? Making sure that you go with a company that has experience in the space, that is going to have your needs as a priority, right? And not only as a client, but you want to make sure that the workers who are being engaged in the program are being taken care of. And so the best companies in the space, what they do is they provide a white glove service, and there's continuous contact from the first engagement with the workers all the way through the end of their assignments, whether that be in a payrolling instance or, you know, ensuring compliance down the road with the independent contractor. But at the end of the day, right, in both cases, employer of record will take on all of the employment related liabilities, such as workers' comp, unemployment, as well as, you know, alleviating the administrative burden of just having to manage that population for the client. And so there are multiple benefits, but the employer of record does stay up to date with any of the local labor laws. They handle all the tax withholdings, reporting, managing benefits administration, as well as ensuring accurate payroll calculations. So it is a full white glove approach in that context.
And the candidate, the actual worker, should feel like it's white glove. You know, they are going to work for a particular employer. They are doing a job that their skill sets match. I mean, if the employer of record does their job correctly, that candidate should feel a very seamless experience. You know, they are, their number one priority is doing the job for their employer, and the employer of record, the people that are helping them with the onboarding and, you know, all of the things it takes to, you know, fully engage with a company, you know, we would expect that contractor should feel like, you know, there's kind of no difference between who they're dealing with, whether or not it's the employer or, you know, the kind of back office folks that are helping them get up to speed so they can do their job. It comes down to kind of that worker care or candidate experience that you've mentioned.
Yeah, and there's, you know, to that point, right, the best employer of records really serve as an extension of the client companies, right? But at the same time, there's a clear distinction in terms of co-employment of who the workers are actually employed by, and it is the employer of record. But the workers clear who they're going to get their W-2 from, who they're actually employed by. But again, they're on assignment with the client companies. The client companies are controlling the day-to-day management of the workers, right? And so there's kind of an art to the handoff there and the ongoing management of the workers, which again is why, you know, to your point, the best companies in the industry, they do have a white glove approach, and there is continuous contact and maintenance of the relationship from the first engagement of the workers really to the end of their engagement, right?
Yes. And, you know, we know today with social platforms enabling people to share whatever it is they have on their mind and, you know, to be true advocates. I mean, this whole society now is very bold in sharing what they do and don't like about things online. And, you know, I think it feels really important that the candidate or the worker becomes hopefully kind of a brand advocate for the company they're working for, because the better experience they have when they're on assignment, the more they're going to tell their friends about it, the more they're going to refer other, you know, their peers to that employer. So I think it's the job of the EOR provider to provide a really good experience so that, you know, that candidate becomes kind of an amplification of the brand too.
Yeah, totally. And to that point, right? So, workers that are payrolled through an employer record service, it could be any worker that is self-sourced by the client. So that could be workers that come through part of a direct sourcing solution. It could be workers who are identified by the client's internal recruiting teams. It could also be referrals as well. Really anybody that's, again, kind of self-sourced, leveraging either the client's brand or their own internal recruiting teams.
Yeah. And these days, you know, it seems like the value of a referral, you know, is more and more important, you know, especially for the employer who is engaging that worker. You know, if they get other referrals, you know, it's that reduction in time to hire, you know, getting good people in the door and kind of, you know, getting engaged with that, EOR and with the client company, certainly makes the path to getting the job done quicker when, you know, it's a referred as opposed to just, you know, maybe a known candidate, for instance. So moving along, I'm just curious, are there specific industries or situations where using an EOR provider is more beneficial than trying to do it internally?
Really, it ultimately depends on what the client's needs are. The service can be used across, you know, every industry imaginable, right? But Where it is most beneficial is industries that have a high volume of project-based work, or you know, companies that rely largely on temporary or contract-based folks and worker populations. They'll find an employer of record most beneficial, and that comes from both the flexibility and compliance assurance without, you know, having to face the administrative burden of handling those large populations of workers, which again, you know, touches on the importance of having a strategic partner that has your best interests at heart, has the workers' best interests at heart, provides a white glove service and approach, and ultimately, you know, is not going to put you in a box and say, hey, this is how things need to be done. You know, there is the compliance piece, right? And the best companies obviously do that. But also the best companies will build programs around what the needs are of the clients as well. And they're flexible and agile. And a lot of times in payrolling instances, you need to be able to move quickly, and companies can either ramp up or ramp down. So, you know, choosing a strategic partner in that approach that does have a lot of experience ultimately is going to do nothing but benefit you in the long run.
Yeah, that's a great example. And you mentioned just kind of the ebb and flow of how often, you know, companies may need workers, you know, for certain projects and for seasonality, for instance. And another thing, you know, unfortunately, we keep hearing of this potential looming recession, and companies who are able to use EOR services and AOR services, you know, the IC compliance, have a bit more flexibility to kind of throttle up and hire, you know, engage these folks quickly when they need to. And then if the economy is such, or their business situation is such, that they need to kind of throttle it down again and don't need as many workers, kind of this payrolling scenario makes it easier to kind of bring on, you know, workers as needed, and then slow it down. The business drivers may slow as well. So I guess it comes back a lot to just that flexibility, shorten time to hire when you need it and slow it down when you don't.
Yeah, and also, you know, to that point, right, is the payrolling service, employer of record services, you can also, companies that are hiring, facing potential headcount restrictions, stuff like that, these workers would not affect that population, right? So it is also a way to get around headcount restrictions. A lot of companies, uncertain economic climates, they may have budget cuts as well, and both of these services are ultimately a cost savings alternative to what is a traditional staffing and recruiting type model, because when companies are able to, whether it's through direct sourcing program, whether it's by leveraging their own internal recruiting teams or referral based, right, they're identifying the workers on their own essentially, and it's going to be more cost effective than having a staffing company go out and do the recruiting for you.
Yeah, I think that is truly the beauty of direct sourcing and kind of creating a pipeline of great talent that, you know, you use when you need it. And, you know, and when you're not using them on assignment, you know, those talent communities or talent pipelines are a good way to kind of keep your pipeline fresh of great workers, and, you know, to engage them if and when you need to, as opposed to the cost of potentially having to staff up and then, you know, staff down. There's always inherent costs, you know, with attrition and having to go through layoffs and things like that. So moving on to question number 10, so Ian, what are some future trends? I know there's no crystal ball here, but, you know, future trends or developments that you see or that you're reading about, you know, in terms of payrolling and IC compliance and kind of how it plays into the future of this contingent workforce?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think you touched greatly on that a few times. You know, really a lot of it is centered around the workers and their rights. That's kind of at the forefront now. But the laws, again, are really ever changing in this space. And so making sure that you or your company, or you have access to a trusted advisor that is keeping up to date with everything, is pretty important. And I think it just goes back to, again, doing your due diligence, right? Crossing your T's, dotting your I's, and doing what you can.
And again, I think leaning on third-party expertise who, you know, kind of proven experts in understanding employment laws and, you know, across multiple geographies is really should be peace of mind. I think that's why companies choose to work with EOR and IC experts, you know, to just to ensure that there is you know, the constant upkeep and constant understanding of what's going on in labor laws and keeping the, you know, worker rights really top of mind, because that's what's important. And I think that's especially important now with so many workers choosing the flexible lifestyle. COVID gave everybody a little bit of a taste of what it's like to work from home, or what it's like to work, you know, remotely, or to, you know, live in a state that has a lower cost of living than the potential headquarters of where your company is. People moved around a lot. We heard the term, the Great Migration, that happened during COVID. And so now workers, you know, are really kind of in the driver's seat and have more say in where they want to work, how they want to work, for how much, when, which employers. So putting a, you know, EOR and AOR program in place, you know, allows workers the flexibility they need, and also ensures companies that they have access to those great talented candidates out there, and that they're doing it in the most law-abiding way, for lack of a better term. So I don't know, Ian, is there anything else you'd want to say to just kind of, you know, bookend this and kind of summarize, you know, some of the main takeaways here?
Yeah, I think we've done a great job of covering the core components. But, you know, to your point, right, in terms of the rise of remote work, I guess you could say, right, there's been a kind of an uptick in companies leveraging these services, and also, you know, vendors out there. There's a lot more payrolling employer of record companies. A lot of them are new, and it's just important for, again, clients to do their own due diligence, right, and make sure that they're doing what's best for them. And, you know, ultimately, you want a company that's, again, going to build something around you and have your best interests at heart, right? Take care of the workers. We're in the business of people.
Exactly.
You know, we're in the business of people, right? And so somebody gets married, they call and change their name. Somebody has a baby, you know, they let us know that they're out on maternity leave. It's a high human touch environment. And so with that, it's very important to make sure that you're going with the company, again, that really cares about you.
Yeah. I mean, really, talent should be the center of everything. This is a people business. So I think this has been a great overview, Ian. Thank you so much for sharing your wealth of knowledge. And I appreciate the time you spent with us today. I hope the audience that listens in knows that they can certainly reach out to us on hiregenics.com. There's all kinds of ways to get in touch with us. We really thank everyone for listening today, and we hope that you will stay tuned for our next podcast in this series. So thank you all for joining us, and thanks for
Thank
your
you
time
for tuning in to the Hiregenics podcast, innovative contingent workforce solutions insights from the experts. For more information, visit hiregenics.com. Your success is our success.